Are you a fan of horror movies?
Necronomicon Ex Mortis, the Book of the Dead.
We're all cult classics.
Your move, creep.
If you are, you'll love Shocking Things. Please search for us on all the major podcasting platforms. To see our social media and a direct link to our podcast, please go to anchor.fm/shockingthings.
Got two shows this week. I got Invictus Pro Wrestling and Titan Championship Wrestling on Saturday.
Okay, you're going to be on IWTV on Saturday, so against Jay Bougie,
yeah,
our buddy. So yeah, tell me about that. Now I know I'm kind of going off. I have notes, but I'm going off because we just started a conversation, so that's okay. So you kind of came up with Jay Bougie, right?
Yeah. I was probably about a year ahead of him, about 6 months, 7 months ahead of Jay Bougie.
Okay.
He came in. He was a little bit of a knucklehead when he came in. And, you know, we was being taught by Johnny Rod, so it was real, like, old school. And you just couldn't do certain things. So that's how me and him actually connected. I was the guy that was kind of assuming the leader role at Gleason's. And so it was my job to, like, tell people when they were doing something wrong, try to slide them into the right path. And he was kind of messing up, doing something dumb. And I went to him. I was like, all right, look, you can't do this. Just got to focus on here and learn how to roll before. He was trying to run before he could walk, essentially. And that kind of made me and him really close after that, because he kind of just stuck by me. And it was like anything I did, because he knew I was in the ear of Johnny. He knew what Johnny was grooming me for. And he was smart enough just to stick next to me. And me and him have been like this ever since.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He's a good guy. He was on the show, but I'm not the one that actually interviewed him. Somebody else interviewed him. And I thought, because I started seeing you guys around the same time. You guys both popped up at Paradise Alley probably around the same time. And that's the main show that I go to around here, because it's closest to my house, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So I was really impressed with the two of you. Like it was just a lot of fun, man. And I think that guy is really good. He's really cool.
Yeah,
nice as hell too.
Yeah, that he could sell his butt off. But yeah. So I don't know if you know the history of being a Johnny guy. So being a Johnny guy, essentially, you can't do indies. You can't you can't learn from other teachers. You can't go to seminars and stuff like that. Some of the people that are there still do it. But essentially, once you hit the indie scene, that's it. Like, you're not there no more. And COVID had hit. We was at Johnny's, say, 2019. That was the last little point. And we was doing a YouTube show there. And it was called WW Flash. And it was going on. And it was hitting. It was hitting 1,000 views a week. It was doing good. And then COVID happened. So it kind of like shut down all our momentum. And January hit. They kept going up to Sanctuary. And at the time, I was still kind of a Johnny's guy. I was like, I'm not going anywhere else because it's just his rules. And I was with Johnny's for like 3 or 4 years. But they were like, man, you just got to come. You kind of got to leave the coop. And once I made that decision to leave, I went to Sanctuary, started training up there and just like getting some polishing, essentially. And we hit the indie scene. My independent debut was March 5th. And I didn't even have a match. My first match debut was like April 16th of this year. So me and Bougie and it's two other guys, the Faceless Ones, the tag team.
I saw them.
Yeah, all four of us have been on the indie scene for like 6 months now. Like, so we're pretty green onto the independent scene right now.
It's actually, you're a name that I've heard for a little while, probably through, you know, Johnny's, because I read a lot about that. But when I finally saw you, I was quite impressed with you. So I got to say that. How did you hook up with Johnny Rods? That's one of my main questions. How'd you get interested in professional wrestling and hooking up with Johnny?
Gotcha. That story, man. It all started when I was 4 years old. The old cliche, man. Yeah. My first wrestling event was WrestleMania 10. I was 4 years old at the Garden, and it was the Bret Hart event. That was kind of where it kind of started for me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if it was 2001 or 2002 when Triple H came back from the injury. Yeah. I was at the Garden that night, and that was the night for me where it was like a little teenage boy. It was like, this is what I want to do when I get older. I haven't had the picture perfect life. I'm the kind of guy that learns from his mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I have 4 beautiful children. My kids, my first kind of stopped me from pursuing wrestling. Then I had a second, so that slowed me down even more. And then I finally got into it. It all started one day. I was at the Barclays Center. And this is right around the same time when WWE first started going to the Barclays. Barclays just opened. And I lived right across the street from it. And I was probably in one of the worst depressions. I was in a very dark place mentally for myself. Mm-hmm. And wrestling was just always there for me. Wrestling was always that outlet to go to. It always took my mind off of anything going on in my life. The network had kind of just started. So I was head first into it. I was loving all the documentaries. Loving Legends of the Round Table. I was watching everything. And I just was like, why not try? Why not just try to get into this business? I'm so close to it. I'm so into it. I talk about it with all my friends and family. They all know I love it. So why not do it? And I was looking up schools, and it was between two schools for me because I'm in the New York area. So it was House of Glory. Heard a lot of things about House of Glory, a lot of good things. Amazing Red was teaching down there. And then I came across Johnny Rods, World of Unpredictable Wrestling. And the resume spoke for itself. It was the ECW guys, Devon, Taz, all the Dudleys, basically. Tommy Dreamer, Big Cass. Like, the list was there. It was right in front of me. So it was one of those things where it was like, when one of these companies does my documentary one day, I want my story to be told with some lineage behind it. And that was the pedigree to put behind me. So I called Johnny up. He told me to come in, and I'll never forget it, man. I walked into his office at 10:30 in the morning. I thought I was going to be there for like a half an hour. He told me to come in for an interview. I left that office with him 11:30 at night, and he drove me home. Like, it was the moment I remember being in the Barclays Center watching all the wrestling, just wanting to be one of the wrestlers. Right. And being in Johnny's office that day, it was the closest thing I ever felt to it. So it was a no-brainer for me just to join up with him, learn from him, get his guidance. I'm biased. He's the greatest trainer in the world today, one of the greatest to ever do it. Him, Killer Kowalski, those are two guys right there that in the Northeast – basically created the whole wrestling scene when you think about
right the modern era. Yeah, in the, especially in the Northeast. Yeah, were you familiar with Johnny Rods prior to calling him up and meeting him, like his work in the WWF and such?
Yeah, so my grandmother was huge into wrestling. She kind of started my love. Her favorites was Pedro Morales, Classy Freddie Blassie. So I grew up with like learning those names, and Johnny Rods, when we had the old VHS tapes. Like mm-hmm. The wrestling classic. He was always like the guy in the first or second match or in a tag yep. match or Jose Estrada. So I knew of him. I knew more of the training aspect too. As like the years came on, especially during the Attitude Era, those were his guys. So you heard his name a lot on commentary.
Right. Yeah, he was the guy that he'd been around a long time. I've heard I remember I don't know if you're familiar with ever heard of a referee now retired, Dave Dwinnell. He worked for the New York State Athletic Commission, but I guess his first match he ever had or refereed was Johnny Rod's match back in like 1984. And he said that he was so nervous going in to meet Johnny. And he said Johnny basically mentored him and helped him through the match, because at the time it wasn't, I guess it was for lack of a better term, exposed. You know what I mean? Not everybody knew. This guy, being a state athletic referee, had no idea what he was really getting into, but Johnny really mentored him, helped him out a lot throughout his first match. So that was pretty awesome. He sounds like an awesome guy, just based on that.
That's who Johnny is, and everybody who walks through his doors, man, you'll be surprised by the names that have walked through his doors, but every single one of you will tell them he teaches you how to become a man or a woman. He teaches you how to, you know, get your life together, and then he teaches you everything about the back end of the business to make sure you can handle everything thrown at you. So, man, Johnny Rods is the reason I am who I am today, so nothing but praise for him.
Why doesn't he allow, or not necessarily care for, people to work outside of the WUW?
He's an old school guy. Very, very, very old school guy. And when he was in the business, it was a black eye. Like, I've done my history. I've learned my lessons and looked through it throughout the history. Being an independent guy back in the 80s and the 90s was almost a black eye on a wrestler.
I get what you're saying. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm sorry. But like, I get what you're saying. But at that point, you know, you know how like the territories used to like build up a super show if some outlaw promotion was coming in. But I mean, by that time, I guess it was kind of faded out, that kind of whole system. I guess that's kind of sounds like what he was doing in a way.
That's exactly what he was doing. Exactly. He still does it today. And it's just his way of teaching. He doesn't want any other cook in the kitchen. That's just how he is. I mean, it sucks, especially like for today, because I feel like a lot more people would know about a lot more Johnny Rods guys, and his school would be full if all of us was to be let out and come back and bring it back to him. It would be a real different dynamic, but it is what it is, and you have little Johnny guys trickle out once every few years.
Yeah, and today for professional wrestling, especially independent wrestling, it's like amazing. It's such an amazing time. People are going everywhere. There's so much, like, you know, there's so much to do on the independent circuit. It's amazing. You know, and COVID shut it down for almost 2 years. It was kind of, but you know, it hit the independent circuit really hard. The majors suffered, but they didn't suffer like the independent circuit, you know. But I think the independents really started to recover in the last, like, however, what, 6 months or so since people started running shows again. How long has it been since New York started running shows?
New York still isn't open.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, New York. I know this month they're starting to let some indie shows starting to run with the athletic commission again. There were some little underground shows here and there that kind of ran without the permission, but who cares, you know? It's wrestling. You can't hold it back in New York, man.
I know, right?
And, but yeah, so my return to New York independent wrestling is going to happen November 13th in New Evolution Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, in Queens, that's going to be back. And no, matter of fact, I'm back in New York at La Boom on October 13th or 16th, one of those days.
Okay.
So,
where are you working? Where are you working then?
Well, I'm doing a show on October 16th. It's a AAA, CMLL. They have a bunch of guys come out, do a La Boom show. La Boom is like huge. La Boom's like the mecca of the New York indie scene.
Okay.
Like, if the show's running at La Boom, it's a big deal. That's where Evolve used to run all their shows. NXT ran a couple shows there.
Gotcha.
So it's at La Boom, and then November 13th, I'm back at New Evolution Wrestling.
That's awesome. So tell me about... what was your first match like, and who did you wrestle?
Oh, man, my first match. That's a good memory. It's one you never forget, man. It was at La Boom, my first ever match. I was in a tag team match. It was me and a tag team partner, a good friend of mine's name, Ernesto, versus a guy named Jared and a close friend of mine you've seen at PAPW, Ransom.
Just discovered him, he just started a couple months back there. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, he was actually in my first ever match. He's like 5-6 months ahead of me training-wise. And it was a tag match. It was awesome. Everything forgot. I don't remember a single thing about the match. All I remember is the footage that I have that I could go back to. And the one funny story I have about that night, they was like, well, PJ, you got to go over with a finisher. It's your debut. Johnny wants you to know. to do something for you. You've been training hard. So I'm like, okay, cool. I don't have a finisher. I've been training for a month. I was a month in at the time. And being the mark that I was, I go, can I hit a rock bottom? And everybody goes, no, you can't hit a rock bottom. What are you doing? So I remember the move I hated the most was the full Nelson slam. I hated that move. I thought it was so boring. And that was the first name, the first move that came out of my mouth. I was like, how about a full Nelson slam then? And everybody was like, yeah, hit it. And I remember going to the curtain. I was like, why did I say that? Why did I say full Nelson slam? And funny enough, it's been my finisher ever since. So it's kind of stuck with it.
Oh, wow. Now, recently, I did a little bit of studying on you before we came here today. So I watched your interview with Don Kincaid.
Yeah.
That you did. Don is a great guy and a very important person to the independent scene in the Northeast. Yes. Okay. So anytime I get a chance to put him over, I will here. Sometimes he's the only one with the camera in the building. You know, yep. His enthusiasm is fantastic. But you said on there, working through Johnny Rod's school, you got to work with some really impressive talents that you got to work with LaParca.
Yeah.
I believe. Willie Mack and Bobby Lashley. Now, this is obviously probably this in between his WWE runs and Impact runs, I'm guessing, Lashley.
This was literally, I want to say, 2 months before he went back to WWE. Uh-huh. If I'm not mistaken, I was his last stop, like, doing indies. The Willie Mack is an amazing person. I have nothing but huge respect for him. Like, he's funny backstage. He was kind of one of the first, like, names I've ever wrestled. I also wrestled one of the Mexican legends by the name of Scott Day. Gil de la Park. Man, it was a whole bunch. But the Bobby Lashley one was insane. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Just that whole time, the whole day was surreal. Like, I remember when they told me I was going to wrestle him. I kind of took it to heart for the locker room because it was like, I was finally becoming the leader for the locker room. And it was one of the real first times that they put one of the roster guys with a star in a big boom show for Johnny's. And I put that on my shoulder and was like, this isn't just for me. Because if I leave this match and the match comes out great, everyone else is going to get an opportunity after me to do the same thing. So I worked so hard for that match. And I remember walking into LaBoom that day. LaBoom's a reoccurring theme for this interview, I guess. But I walk into LaBoom and Bobby Lashley's sitting down in the locker room. And he goes, who's Savage? Who's this Savage guy? And I'm like, it's me, Bobby. Nice to meet you. I'm the guy you're going to kill tonight. But amazing match. It was easy. It was kind of like I remember CM Punk. CM Punk had an interview where he was like, when he first wrestled Eddie Guerrero on Independence and he got that chance, it was his coming to moment where it was like, if I can go with Eddie, I can do this. And it was the exact same thing for me, where wrestling Bobby Lashley was just like wrestling anyone else for me. The nerves wasn't there during the match. Everything was smooth. I felt like I went toe-to-toe with him. I felt like it was respectable. It was a big thing for my growth as a professional wrestler. So that match was huge for me. And then to see him become WWE champion. And Bobby Lashley still kept in touch with me throughout after that, just giving me advice, telling me cool things. He gave me his number after the match, a lot of wrestlers don't do. So he's one of those good guys in his business.
He seems like a genuinely good guy. And I got to tell you, his comeback WWE run has kind of struggled a little bit. But his championship run, this previous championship run, I thought was, you know, he was doing some of his best work he's done there since returning. You know, I mean, he got stuck in that romantic storyline, which I always hate when they do. I hate when they do stuff like that. But, you know, the WWE championship run that he had, I thought was pretty freaking amazing. So,
yeah, definitely. His run was phenomenal. It was very respectable.
So you want to tell me about any other names that you wrestled there at the World of Unpredictable? That anything shining moments before we break away from this?
Man, just as a whole, just the whole experience at World of Unpredictable Wrestling. I was heavyweight champion there for 3 years. I never lost the belt. I dropped it due to COVID. But just learning how to become a locker room guy, leading a locker room, being one of the guys that helped break down, set up during every show. That was kind of it for me. That it taught me how to be a professional wrestler. And being on the independent scene now, I would be clueless. I would be dumb if it wasn't for everything I went through over there. And wrestling Lashley, wrestling Willie Mack, Skade, LaParca Jr., wrestling all those guys, man. Being in locker rooms with Santana and Ortiz, being in locker rooms with John Morrison, Brian Cage, because that's what Johnny brought in at them big shows. So that all of that was a learning experience for me. So everything, I take everything as a whole as one training moment.
That's awesome. I just watched Santana Ortiz. Now he last night's AEW Dark Elevation, they got to take on JT Dunn, who's a very familiar face in the Northeast. I'm not, you're familiar with him, I'm sure. He made his AEW debut, which we had him on way back a year and a half ago. And I got to say, that was probably, I guess, a shining moment in a way. You know, see this guy getting on there. It's very exciting to see stuff like that happening when you know, you see guys from your area on your television. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. Yep.
Let me ask you, hang on, let me read my notes here. Okay, so how'd you hook up with Slick Wagner Brown and Tessa Strength?
Oh, man. So that was, this is right when I was hitting the independent scene. And it was funny where being at Johnny's, it was like a lot of people don't really know what you did. So I came onto the independent scene, put myself at the bottom of the ladder. I didn't wave the Bobby Lashley flag around. I didn't wave, hey, I was heavyweight champion. I was telling everybody I'm fresh in. I just want work. So, I think it was Alex had hit me up and he told me to come out to a dojo show. No, it was Bobby Ocean. Bobby Ocean had told me to come out to one of their shows and they booked me and all my guys. And it was me, Jay Bougie versus the Faceless Ones versus Cold Cash versus Waves and Curls. And it was just one of those things where it was like, especially that first 3 months of us being on their knees, especially for me, I can't speak for my guys. But it was, I was out to prove something. I was out to prove that I was that good and I am where I believe I am. And so every time I walked the curtain, it was just like I wanted people to feel me. And getting in through Slick Wagner Brown's door, that was one of those moments. You have to have that energy and that aura with you when you go through the locker room and you go shake his hand. You know, you want each other to feel each other's presence. He's a legend out there in the Connecticut.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's somebody I have tremendous respect for. I would love to work with Tessa Strength again in the future. It's definitely gonna happen. But Slick Wagner Brown, man, I got nothing but respect for him.
That guy's awesome. He's been around a very long time, and he's another Kowalski guy that we were just talking about. Yeah. And you know, he's one guy. I'm just, how do you not end up on television on a regular basis? That's one of the things, because growing up in the earlier 2000s, I really thought that was going to happen. You know what I mean? That he was going to be one of those stars out there in the regular. So not only that, what about XWA? They're out of Rhode Island, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's actually probably, I would say, probably one of my favorite places to work, period.
I've heard. I've heard it's a great place.
You see all the stars hanging on the wall, all the guys that have been champion there. Austin Theories, everyone, the Sammy Guevara's, everybody has been champion, walked through those doors. And I remember the last show that I did for my, I did their last show, their pay-per-view, Rumbolution with Kurt Angle on it, and getting to be in the locker room with Kurt, Chris Masters, Gangrel, JT Dunn, Danny Limelight was there, Vincent from ROH, Matt Taven, all those guys. That's what XWA is, kind of like that big New England family. It kind of, to me, XWA really represents that kind of New England vibe. It's a lot of New England guys there. But they bring in talent, and XWA is one of my favorite places to work. And before I sign a big contract, wherever I go, I want to hold that XWA heavyweight title. That is a big goal of mine.
No, I just saw you. I just watched a video. You wrestled Steven Garcia there. Is that correct?
Yeah. He was one of my matches there. Sunset Steve, yeah.
Tell me about that match. He's a Paradise Alley guy. So
yeah, he is. And when they told me I was wrestling him that night, Jose Garcia, huge respect for Jose. Jose came up to me and he's like, I got a green guy for you. I was like, man, bring them on, man. You know, as Johnny guys, we love handling other people, like especially the newer guys, make them feel comfortable because we have that intimidating aura to us, but we're nothing but teddy bears, especially with the newer guys. So he told me he was new, and Steve came up to me. He was like, yeah, man, you're like my, I think he told me, I was like, it's 12th match. I was like, you're counting?
I guess when you're that new in, maybe, right?
Yeah, I lost count, man. But he was counting his matches, and I was like, look, man, we're just going to go out there, have some fun. And I kind of wanted, like, one of the things about me as a professional wrestler, I want to elevate the guy that I'm wrestling. That is a huge goal of mine. Whoever I'm wrestling, whether it be in promos, a lead up, or just the match itself, I want, of course, to make my presence known, but I want the other guy that I was in that ring with to come out just as good as me. And that night was especially like that with Sunset. I wanted to put him on the mat. Jose's telling me he's new, and I could tell Dustin was watching Flash. I could tell a lot of guys was looking on just to see what he was going to do. And I wanted to make him look good that night. I probably made him look a little too good. I bumped for him at the beginning. I don't really bump for guys. But he was a great guy to work with.
He's a very nice guy, and he's he's still new. You know, he's probably like just over a year in, I think, now at this point. And yeah, I believe he's coming back from an injury. I think he broke his hand or something in a match, or hurt his hand in a match, at least at one of the alley fights.
Yeah, I was actually there for that one.
Yeah, that was probably what, 3 or 4 shows ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my daughter's leaving. This happens in my house. Sorry. Tell me before we move on to this. Is there anything else you want to add about XWA? Whoever else you met there, wrestled there, rather. Excuse me.
Man, huge shout out to Mike Antonucci. That man, I call him the Vince McMahon of the New England scene. I remember when he was at PWA, the alley fights recently, and he was in his trailer. And everybody was like, oh, Mike's here. I was like, oh, God, this guy has that Vince McMahon vibe up here, huh? he's going to kill me for saying that. But, yeah, man, I love XWA. I can't wait for XWA to come back. I'm patiently waiting for XWA to come back. I want to be one of their guys. I want to be one of their guys going into the future. I want to be able to put that XWA flag in the ground and have them be proud I'm one of the guys that represent them.
It's one of the promotions in the Northeast. I mean, there's so much going on in the Northeast that I can't get to everything, but I do travel out of state. I am in Connecticut, but I don't get to travel to Rhode Island or Massachusetts or New York that much. But well, from what I understand, that the from where you are to here, it's not that far, right? It's probably like an hour and a half.
No, it's two and a half. It's two and a half during the day and an hour and a half at night.
You're gonna leave
hour 40. Yeah. So during the day, like getting over to you guys for alley fights to PAPW, it's like 2.5 hours. Okay. 2 hours drive. But going up to XWA, it was every Thursday. And that drive would push 4 hours sometimes.
I was gonna say, because New York to Rhode Island's gotta be way worse. Because I know that from here, I looked it up because they used to host those Thursday night throwdowns.
Yeah.
I was like, it's 2.5 hours or 2 hours or something like that from here. And I'm like, yeah. There's guys I know that go every Thursday night from New Haven, Connecticut. And I'm like, there's no, yeah, but you're working the shows. You're working the shows at least. But this guy, there's guys, fans.
Oh, those are fans. Like, holy yes. Cow. That's insane.
But, you know, I thought about, you know, I've driven further for indie shows. I used to drive in New Jersey for NWA shows in the 90s, you know, so it'd be like 3 or 4 hours back in the day. So, but now as an adult, I don't have the patience for that as much unless it's something really worth it.
It was funny though, because the PAPW drive, there's like a food truck spot, like right off the highway.
Right on Long Wharf. Yep. Yeah. That's, I work like 5 minutes from that place, and that's a place to go for lunch. We always drive over there. There's always like great burritos and tacos, trucks and all this other stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of really good stuff over there.
That was the halfway point to get the XWA for us. So when we saw the food trucks, we was like, all right, halfway there. So it was intense, man. Those drives were horrible.
I can imagine. But it's apparently it's going to come back. I understand XWA is working on coming back, right? They just, what do they do? Just lose the building or something to that, right?
Yeah, he didn't renew the lease. It was just cost too much to just do all the repairs, and it's time for a new era.
Okay, cool. Now, tell me how you ended up hooking up with Paradise Alley and coming down this way.
That was actually through XWA. Flash always, whenever I saw Flash up there, Flash is one of my favorite guys that I've met out here since I hit the indie scene. Flash, Kylon, Ichiban, those are guys that we always like are cool with. And Flash kept telling me, he was like, man, I got to get you out to PAPW. That's my home. I was like, man, you know me and my New York crew. All you got to do is tell us where. And we'll show up. Give us a time. Tell me when. And then we'll show up. And they finally had announced the Alley Fights. And I was like, this is perfect. They hit up the Alley Fights. And Dustin hit me up and asked me if I wanted to do them. And Marcel had hit me up. And Lou Jacobs, Doc, he hit me up if I wanted to do it, if I was in. I was like, man, you could count me in for every date you guys have. If I'm not there a week, it's because maybe the car broke down or something emergency-wise happened that I'm not able to get up there. It's every 2 weeks, and it's something I wanted to commit to for them, especially for them to just start it. I wanted to be one of their guys going forward too. So that's how that happened with Dustin.
They're an amazing place because
yeah,
I had been out of wrestling for a couple of years, and it was when I met my second wife, and her son was into WWE at the time, and bringing him to shows kind of got me interested again, and then I discovered, not discovered, but I started attending indie shows again. So then that turned into more so of an obsession with indie wrestling as a whole, like saying, I always loved indie wrestling, but this, it kind of put it back into my heart. You know what I mean? The indie shows. So, and then I was like, by a chance meeting Paul Roma in a gas station one morning on my way to work. And then he invited me down, and I've probably missed 3 shows in the last 3 years of theirs. So I've gone to every single one. I had the first one, they ran like a fan appreciation one. So it was free to get in that tiny room, you know, and it was packed. And I got to tell you, I was like, holy shit, this is great. I went back to every single one. And like, I think, it has to be something very serious. Like I'm out of town or something to that effect to where I'm not going to be able to make it. And they have a big pay-per-view coming up Dieselmania, and you're not going to be a part of it. I was hoping, because we were discussing this last night, we did a preview show and we were talking about the Battle Royal, and I did mention your name. I said, maybe PJ Savage is going to be one of the guys. And I was like, no, wait, I think you're booked this weekend. Yeah. You're going to be on IWTV for Invictus, correct?
Yeah, I'm over at IWA. And of course, these bookings happen a long time in advance.
Yep.
Bookings usually take place like 2 months, 3 months before the date actually happens. So that's why things didn't line up with Diesel Mania. But I'm actually double booked this weekend, just like I was last weekend. Last weekend was worse. Last weekend I was in Massachusetts for Shut Up and Wrestle. And then I had to go
to
Nutley, New Jersey and Wrestle. It was an 8-man tag match and then another Royal Rumble. And then the next day I was in Jersey doing a Fatal 4-Way and a Rumble. I wrestled 6 times this weekend. Past weekend.
Shit. Wow.
Yeah. And so this weekend's almost the same, not as crazy with the matches, but I'm wrestling at Invictus. I'm wrestling a close friend of mine, Jay Bougie, at Invictus on IWTV. And then later that night, I'm tagging with Ransom versus 2 guys from Warriors of Wrestling. It's an interpromotional tag match. And then on Sunday, I'm at Hazleton, PA for Sanctuary for their Kingdom Come tournament, which I'm going to win. So, it's a pretty packed weekend, but this weekend I'm pretty excited for it, man. 2 big promotions, especially in the New Jersey, New York area. Invictus is right there. Like, if you're coming up in this area, you want to wrestle for Invictus. Titan Championship Wrestling. Titan Championship Wrestling just started last year, and so did Invictus. Mm-hmm. They kind of held it down during the pandemic era, and I was watching them with a close eye, and I wanted to be a part of them. And man, I'm with both of them, and I couldn't be happier. especially with Titan and Invictus, they give me a chance to be creative and to be PJ Savage and to have that outlet somewhat close to home. So it's an honor to be with those guys. And I can't wait till New York opens up. And I got to be honest with you, though, those 2-hour, 3-hour drives are killing me.
I can't wait for it to open up because a lot of places I can just hop on the train to go to. Or Queens is only like an hour from where I am, hour and 20 minutes if there's shows there. Isn't that where House of Glory runs? Am I correct? Or is that somewhere else?
I'm not too sure. I know House of Glory used to run maybe in Manhattan. They probably run in Queens now. I know they moved. I'm not too sure where they're at now, though.
Yeah, I can't remember. But so you keep really busy driving all over the damn place. Like you said, 6 matches last weekend. I did watch the Shut Up and Wrestle, courtesy of Don Kincaid, on the video. Those are another shows I got to get up to, but it's just making that after work and on a Friday night is very difficult. I think they moved them to Saturdays or something now, so it might be a little bit easier. But I'm actually surprised you didn't go further in the tournament. I thought you were, you're one of the guys that I chose. I'm telling you.
The scheduling conflicts. I got to be in Nutley, New Jersey that night. 3.5-hour drive, and if you got to use the bathroom, the drive hits 4 hours. So there was slight plans, and things are going to be different. I'm back up there. Oh man, I think the 8th, which is a Friday
night. That's the big Jim Anderson tribute show.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but November 13th, that's another big Jim Anderson tribute show with New Evolution Wrestling. And me and Big Jim Anderson were supposed to be tag team partners right before, like, leading up to his passing. So anything with his name on it. Actually, that's how I got hooked up with Shut Up and Wrestle this past weekend. Okay. I wasn't originally supposed to be a part of the tournament. It was supposed to be Big Jim Anderson.
I remember they announced him, and then, like, it was probably a week later he passed.
They called me. A couple people reached out to me and asked me if I would take his spot. And man, I didn't care if that drive was in Nova Scotia. to have that honor, I definitely would have did it for him. So that's how I got hooked up there, and I'm definitely going to be a part of the tribute show come the 8th. So looking forward to
it. Did you know Jim at all?
Yeah. I know him. So I met him back, a quick Jim Anderson story. The first time I ever met him was New Evolution Wrestling, right when I first hit the indie scene. So probably like, I don't know, May. I think it was May. It's definitely May. And they point towards the biggest guy in the room, which is him. And they tell me, that's going to be your tag partner going forward. I'm like, him? Oh, man, he makes me look small. Jesus. And I go up to Jim. I'm like, Jim, you big dude. He's like, you're damn right. But I'm a teddy bear. And man, ever since then, I ran into him at TOS. I've ran into him at XWA. I've ran into him at a couple places. One of the tragic parts for me was a week before his passing. It was maybe, I want to say, 4 or 5 days. He messaged me because I believe he was going to be at PAPW Alley Fight. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't make it. And he was like, man, this sucks that we keep missing each other. I can't wait to see you and give you a hug and have a drink. And I was like, it's going to happen soon. And then, unfortunately, a couple days later, I found out about his passing. So it hit me hard. Just knowing Jim and talking to him, I wish I would have known him more. Because I know the connection he made with so many other guys. Mm-hmm. So many guys that I'm close with. Dustin's, the Kylons.
Yeah, he was a
kid. Ryan Frost. I'm so cool with Ryan. So
I think
Jim was a good guy.
I was actually recording when with somebody, and when Mario called Big Daddy, the Guardian of Chaos, who does the commentary. So it was kind of like, I remember, he had to get off the line, and then he came back, and we didn't announce it, but it was one of those things where, we just had a friend that had passed. I had just spoken to him probably 2 weeks before, and, we never talked about wrestling ever. We always talked about, we talked about music or punk rock, you know what I mean? So he was just a good guy, and that was like the thing that we had in common and through the New Haven punk rock scene. And he's just a great dude all around. And I had him on here a a few months ago, and I looked it up. It was only like 3 months before he passed. And so it's, yeah, it's very tragic. And I didn't realize how much he was actually loved in the Northeast New England professional wrestling scene until he had passed. You didn't realize how many people actually knew who Big Jim Anderson was and the effect he had on the scene here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's even felt further down towards the New York area.
Yeah.
With New Evolution Wrestling. He was supposed to be a big part of it going forward. They had big plans for him and me and him as a tag team. So, anytime we get to honor him, a lot of people don't know, all my loved ones who've passed away and my friends and family, people that I hold deeply and care about, write their names in my boots. And Jim's name now resides inside of my boot. So I walk through the curtain with him every time, man. So big Jim is a special person. I'm glad that I've met him. He touched my life in such a short period of time. But Jim, big Jim, man.
Wow. That's actually something that's really amazing, that like what you just said. You know, it's very heartfelt, you know. I'm trying to say it the right way without sounding like an idiot. But you know, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. What else do you have coming up outside of this weekend?
The only weekend that I'm actually off is October 2nd. That's my only off weekend.
Test of Strength. This Test of Strength is running the street show down the road from here. Yeah.
Who knows? I might pop up there. Why not? Right? Pop up. I'm actually booking that day. But that's my only off weekend for about 2 months.
Wow.
The next off day I have is somewhere in November, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to last. I have a steady rotation of like four or five promotions that are constantly running every month. So like Sanctuary is one of them. Titan Championship Wrestling's one of them. New Evolution's one of them. IWA, Intense Wrestling Alliance, is one of them. I love Intense Wrestling Alliance.
Where's that one out of? I'm sorry to cut you off again.
They're down in Nutley, New Jersey. We just had a show this past weekend, and man, the talent that they got there is pretty cool, man. TJ Marconi, I can't wait to beat his ass one day.
That's right.
TJ Marconi's down there. Mantis, there's a lot of great guys. Astro Morales, there's a lot of great guys down there. And Upper Limit Wrestling's another company
that I know that one.
This past Sunday for them. Spirit King Jeter and Wrecking Ball Ligurski through a door. That was fun. my schedule is pretty like locked up. And now with PAPW, they definitely have a spot in my schedule for them. The schedule's kind of filling up. It's going to be interesting. So right now I've hit that 6 month mark, getting my name out there, establishing who I am, laying a foundation, you could say. And the next 6 months for me is going to be grind time. The next 6 months for me is going to be, now I want to start getting those eyes on me. Like, this guy might sign a contract, not just, oh wow, this is PJ Savage. Hey, PJ Savage is here. I want to turn that into, we might not see him here that much longer. So that's the goal for the next 6 months.
Well, not to kiss your ass or anything, but I believe that definitely will happen. And you know, coming down the road, because I got to tell you, the first time I saw you, I was quite impressed. I was like, holy shit. You know, I guess that's it. Nope, I had something else to say. I'm sorry, I lost a train of thought. This doesn't happen that often. So outside of having all that stuff coming up on the weekend, so, you know, any other travels? Like, you work in Pennsylvania, you work in New York, you work in New Jersey. You just wrestled Wrecking Ball. Tell me about some other guys on the independent scene that you like working with, or you like destroying, I should say.
Oh, man, there's quite a few guys that I like to lock up with. One of them... So one of the guys that I've been feuding with down at IWA is, I hate those guys. They're called Too Good. Ace Andrews, Big Cuzzo. It's just a bunch of big guys that you could just, you know, you could get in that ring and really have fun with. Marcel Williams is one of those guys I had fun locking up with. Kylon, Kylon's a guy that I love wrestling. I wrestled him once, and it was at XWA.
And you didn't wrestle. You should bring that match to Paradise Alley.
So yeah, that match needs to happen. That match definitely.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you because, like, I just was speaking about him last night. Now, he's got this match coming up at Diesel Mania against TJ Crawford. Now, yeah. You're familiar, and I basically compared it to, like, it's going to steal the show, kind of like the way Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask used to steal the show when they went out. So, Kylon is one of those guys. He's really, like, one of my favorites going in, like, right now. The guy's tearing it up for such a young kid, and he's got such a bright future ahead of him on top of that.
Yeah, man. I love locking up with Kylon and going in with him. It's funny, in the match that I had with him, I actually tore my pec right here, and I was booked up for the next couple weekends. And I just remember, it's a minor tear, so I'm just going to keep pushing through it. But Kylon kept reaching out to me. He's like, "You okay? You okay?" And it wasn't his fault. It was no one's fault. It was just going to happen anyway, just the way I landed. Yeah, exactly. But so me and Kylon got some unfinished business that probably should be taken care of in a PAPW ring. So, yeah, man. And another guy, I got to name him because this match has to happen, is me versus Jacob Fatu. We keep crossing paths. We keep meeting up at Invictus, GSW, different places. And this match has to happen somewhere, some way, somehow. And me versus him is going to be a sight to see.
That's a match I'd like to see right there. You just put that in my head. So, no, that's a match I got to see.
I'm telling you, it's one of those matches when you think about it and you write it on a paper, you're like, oh, wow, I got to see this one.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see me versus Jacob Fatu, the Samoan Werewolf versus Savage, man. And it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen.
That's awesome. So you're pretty good at the social media and the you push stuff on YouTube. You have a YouTube channel. You do upload promos between that and Instagram. So I think you're kind of marketing yourself, your brand, so to speak, pretty well. So
it's funny you say that, because like being an independent guy, it's pretty tough sometimes, because again, like, I'm not with any school or I'm not with any trainer. No one's getting me bookings. No one is posting for me. No one's promoting me. No one's marketing me. Like, I am truly the definition of an independent worker. I wake up, my wife works. So I take care of the kids throughout the day. And then once she clocks out, I lock myself in the office and I just work all day. I edit my own promos. I edit my own pictures. I take my own 8x10s. I go out and do my own promos and edit those up. And then I sit here and I try to network with podcasters and everyone, man. So just for you to recognize that I'm building a brand here, like every time I get on a podcast, I make sure I have my logo. I want this to be like the Jordan brand logo that you see. It's whenever you see this, you think of me, you know. So it's tough, it's hard making these shows, doing these dates, but I love pro wrestling, man. Like I told my wife all the time, it's not a job. The hardest part of this is the car rides. The car, man. It's I got Randy Orton ass, man. I got no ass back here, man. So it's those car rides, brother. So it's the hardest part. But being a professional wrestler, I wouldn't do anything else in my life, man.
That's amazing. And you got a wife that supports that, and you bust your ass to go do that every weekend. And, you know, it's that's very important, you know. And like you said, you're out there killing it with the social media and the posting and all that stuff. And it's so vital in today's market. If you're especially, you know, you're doing it all yourself, you need to be constantly posting. You need to be getting your name out there. That's just the way society is today and the world is today. You know, it's extremely important. A lot of these people I see a lot of people that don't necessarily post and they don't respond. Or a lot of these guys don't want to do podcasts. They just know they don't have an interest in it. And I appreciate you coming on, because it's like, you know, we're going to have to do a part 2 at some point, you know, definitely. Because I'm sure down the road is like, you know, when you become signed to a major company and all that other stuff, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. I'll be back here at the time, man. Deliver news, man. The day I sign a contract, I'll probably break it on your podcast. How about that?
I'd love that. But, you know, it's my whole goal is to sit here and give people a platform and to talk about independent wrestling. The majority of the stuff I talk about is independent wrestling, especially the Northeast, because I grew up in the Northeast and it's my favorite area, yeah. You know, between New York, and to have somebody such as yourself on there, I really appreciate it and appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, man.
And yeah, so is there anything else you want to plug before we hit the road?
Just a couple things. Starting a YouTube show. We announced it. So I'm going live on Instagram every other Friday to off weekends from PAPW. I'll be doing live giveaways, and I'll also be doing just special announcements, whatever's coming up, whatever I got coming up. And we have a YouTube show coming up, and it's called Takeover right now. I don't know if that name's going to stay, but Takeover represents me and all the guys that I'm with, all the guys that came up with Jay Bougie, the Faceless Ones, Ransom, a couple of other people. And it's kind of like a vlog, but it's going to be funny. It's going to have some skits in there. Kind of like a Northeast being the elite, I guess you can say. Okay. It's going to have guys from New England. It's going to have guys like Kylon and Dustin, Don Kincaid, even yourself. When we see you at the show, we're going to put you onto the show. I had to film a skit with you. Sure. So that's going to be really cool and interesting coming up. All my dates, you can go check them out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Go look it up. You'll see where I'm wrestling if you ever want to come see me. Yeah, man, it's a passion project of mine. I want people like you to see who I am. I want the fans to see the real side of me and to see that it's, you know, what goes into this, the car rides and the injuries and everything. Give you a little glimpse into who I am so you can really get to know who I am. And the last thing I want to say is thank you. Like you just said about giving us platforms. If it wasn't for podcasters like yourself, Don Kincaid, so many other ones that I've been a part of, JoFo in the Ring that I do, that's a Canadian podcast. You guys give us another outlet to promote, to market, to brand ourselves, and to let people in and to see who we are. And it's an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much for the platform. Forever grateful for it. You are now Savage Family, as I like to call you guys that I hook up with. Hashtag Savage Family, and you're definitely a part of it. Thank you for the support you've given, man. When you post up those things on your page, those brighten up our days, guys like me and Jay Bougie, man. When you posted me up on the podcast page on the Rumble, it was like, wow, man. Like, somebody actually cares, you know? Somebody's watching. Somebody's paying attention. So, man, thank you so much. Heartfelt thank you. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming on. And we're going to see you very soon.
Very, very soon. Don't worry. My next date, Alley Fights, I'll be there, baby.
All right.